Going live. Hello. All right. Looks like we are live now. Hello, everyone. This is another live data science question and answer session. And we have with us Bhavis Bhatt, who is a data scientist based in Mumbai, India. And he is also a YouTuber. So I have shared the link of his YouTube channel. He posts amazing video. We are just talking about his GPT-3 video where he has shown how GPT-3 can write human-like SQL queries. So you should just check it out. That's an awesome video that he made. So we are going to just free-form answer any questions that you have. So please start posting your questions in the chat. If you have any audio issues, so I'm just verifying if the audio, etc., is working okay. So looks like the setup is fine. And now questions have started coming in. So Bhavish, do you want to answer the first question from Anshu Singh?
Cool. Firstly, a big thank you, Dhaval, for having me over. I think it's truly an honor for me to be a part of this video. So thank you for the invitation. The question is, which one is better, machine learning engineer or a data scientist? Again, I would say don't run behind the title. Essentially, everyone should aim to become more of a problem solver rather than, say, having things related to a title. So don't attach yourself with the whole data scientist tag or a machine learning engineer or a data analyst tag. Have this whole process, have this whole idea clear that I want to solve a problem using data. It may not be the most fancy predictive models that you should use. There are a lot of instances where companies expect you to create business-driven solutions using data, wherein you might not require the most fancy machine learning models as well. The most simplest way that I can answer this is even a machine learning engineer is good, and even a data scientist is good, and so is a data analyst. So anything related to data, as long as you're solving like a good business problem, that should be fine.
Yeah, and the way I would add, so I agree with you, Bhavesh. One point I would add is if your skill set and your interest is more on software engineering than solving data problem, I would say go for machine learning. I mean, machine learning it requires like math and statistics skills, but at the same time, it requires like hardcore software engineering skills. Data scientists, they have software engineering skills, but it's not required. They are as good as machine learning. So machine learning engine is more, it's like heavy on math, statistics, and the infrastructure building scalable solutions. So the person needs to know all the software engineering fundamentals, you know, memory management, scalability, and all those things. Whereas data scientists, they need to know it, but they don't need to be like super pro in that. So that's the difference you have to keep in mind.
Totally, I totally agree.
Yeah, but you can pick up questions from the chat line. Now looks like we have a few more questions.
How to become a data scientist from a non-technical background? Okay. Again, data science is a very vast field. You will have plenty of roles in form of data analytics, data science, and machine learning engineer. You have specific roles related to NLP that are coming up. Companies which are, say, specific to computer vision, they would expect you to have good computer vision skills as well. If you want to kickstart the whole journey in data science, the biggest pillar that I can state at this point of time is mathematics. The more clear your knowledge regarding mathematics is, core concepts of hypothesis testing, say, theoretical concepts as well, where you're able to understand theory really well, and then apply it to, say, real life problems as well. That is where your true beginning in data science starts. So even if you don't have like a pure say technical background to kickstart, I would highly recommend that you start the statistics courses that are available on Coursera. You get tons of videos on YouTube as well. So you can pick up different, say, content available on different platforms. You can start by reading blogs. Once you have that sense of clarity that I really like statistics, I really like mathematics, then you can kickstart the whole journey by either picking, say, R or Python. Pick up one of the programming languages. You don't need to be like a pro in terms of coding as well when you kickstart, but with time, once you get a sense of how do you write good, say, readable code, how do you optimize code, all of that will follow once you have that passion of learning more. So the way I would say comprehend this question is, if you're not from a technical background, then essentially you can kickstart the journey by starting with mathematics. Once that pillar is really strong, then venture into different programming languages and then pick up, machine learning courses that are available on online websites such as Coursera or edX. That is something that I can recommend.
And I have a video on how you can transition from non-technical background to data scientist. So watch it. And when you say non-technical background, it means various things. Let's say if you're a Bachelor of Arts, then you're kind of starting from very beginning. But if you are a bachelor's in statistics, if you have a math degree, BSc in math, for example, then you have already covered some basics. So the answer varies based on your own background. So Rohit, Anand, if you want more specific answer, then please post which background you are coming from and how you want to transition, and we can provide a more like custom answer. Akshay Revankar is asking, how much Python should we know before starting data science if I'm from non-technical background? So Akshay, you need to know basics of Python. It's not like you spend 6 months becoming expert in Python. Just learn basic for loop, if condition variables, and functions. You know, I have made a video actually on how you can learn basics of data science in 6 months where I have a Python tutorial playlist. So if you follow just 15 videos, that's good enough. And then you should move on to projects as soon as possible. So now you're doing projects. And as you go, whatever skill you need to learn on Python, NumPy, Pandas, whatever, you just keep on learning it. So it should be more like targeted project-based learning rather than you pick Python, spend 6 months, NumPy, spend 2 months. That's not an effective approach. Goncalo Cruz, what is the best way to apply data science in football? Do you know any course? Goncalo, dude. Goncalo is asking this. Bhavesh, do you have any answer to that?
So I am not a huge football fan, so not the best person to give an answer, but I think places where data science can be applied in football is essentially making a prediction which team would win over the other. Again, I am not a huge follower of football, so I wouldn't know the different leagues that are going on as well, but understanding the player performance, using that recency factor, creating, say, simple analytics models around it, making a prediction which team would win over the other, doing some analytics in terms of winning or choosing a team as well, basis which, player is performing well recently, what is his, performance in the national team, if he's being considered for like a club team. So that's all the limited knowledge that I have in football. I can't think of a course that already exists on football, but that is the best
thing
I
could think of. Any general data science course should be good enough. My friend Kenji, he also has a YouTube channel and he's into sports analytics, so maybe check some of his videos. As Bhavesh mentioned, you can do predictive analytics, like basically which team will win, or you can do descriptive analytics, which is, you know, just plotting trends, charts, player specific performance in different games and so on. So that the opportunity here is huge. So Section Education is asking, in India, all parents think degree is the only thing you should care about, but I never learned anything in my school. Should I drop out? Very good question. Many people complain that the school, colleges, they are not learning anything. And nowadays, the trend is changing. I recently read a LinkedIn post where a security guard at Zoho company. He became a software engineer. So he's only 10th grade pass. He did not even did his 11th in his school, you know. He never went to college. He's a software engineer with Zoho, 8 years, doing awesome. I'm going to interview him on my YouTube channel. Trend is changing. Google already announced they don't require degree, you know. So if you are 10th pass, if you know really coding well, if you go Google, they will hire you if you pass their interview. They don't care about degree. And once this big company starts some trend, all the small companies will start following. I'm telling you, it's not happening today. Maybe in 2 to 5 years, you will see a trend where the job posting, you know, where they have like a bachelor degree required, they will stop removing those degree requirements. So the world is changing very fast. If you can learn things on your own, you can now join the companies, you can do freelancing, opportunities are endless. Now, should I drop out? See, think about this. You go to college not only to acquire technical degree. There are soft aspects. You participate in sports, you make friends, you participate in events. You learn a lot of soft skills, which are super useful. Even if you make a career in data science, machine learning engineer, you know, like even though you're coding, those soft skills are super duper useful. So think about those aspects before you say, okay, I want to drop out. I understand. I've been to many classes during my college school days where they're boring. I feel like it's a waste of my time, right? So it's kind of hard to answer that question, but definitely we are seeing a lot of trend, especially in US, where people drop out, they do amazing in their career. You want to pick up next question, Bhavas?
Yeah. What is the best approach in solving underfitting and text classification problem? I tried oversampling, but it caused underfitting in my model. A very generic question without data, it becomes really difficult to answer. But one thing that I can say mention here is if you're kind of trying out a text classification problem, at this point of time, if your model is underfitting, look at the different feature engineering aspects as well that you've performed in order to, before you've kind of created a classifier. So maybe you can include different features as well from your text, maybe run a small NER to extract out the entities in your model and create those columns as well. Look at how performance is impacted once you do good amount of feature engineering. Have you removed stop words as well? So there are different feature engineering techniques that you can try before you say create a model. If nothing is working, say at this point of time, then it's a good idea to collect more data if that is again in your control. If the data set is say static, which is kind of given to you, then you'll have to try out say different feature engineering techniques. Maybe as lame as counting the total number of words that are there in a particular say row, add that as a feature, look at that particular feature if that is making an impact to your overall model prediction performance as well. So that is what I can recommend. Start with good feature engineering techniques. Model building stage is more of something that is automated right now. You have the best in class models available. You have neural networks as well that you can easily train, given how easy the compute capabilities are if you start using Google Colab as well. So I can start by recommending. So for this particular question, one thing that I can recommend is do good amount of feature engineering. So there is something called as, so there's a Python library called as TextBlob. Using TextBlob for a given sentence, you can extract out the sentiment of that particular sentence as well as the polarity of that particular sentence. Include those two features as well. See how much of an impact those two features are making to your overall model prediction. If nothing is working, then collect more data. So that is something that I can recommend.
Yep. Okay. I'll take the next question.
Yeah.
Studying for data scientists or data analytics, which will be better to grab job easily? So number of jobs for data analysts are more than number of jobs for data scientists. So if you're looking at sheer number of jobs, then yeah, data analyst jobs are more. But then the competition is also higher there because the entry barrier is not as hard as data scientists. So you have to make the decision yourself, like which areas you're interested in. If you are interested in more like hardcore machine learning, math, statistics, then of course aim for a higher goal, you know, like data scientists, because even if you can't reach that position, you can still work as a data analyst. So data analyst plus some additional skills is data scientist, basically. So, you know, based on that, you have to make a decision. You want to take the next one?
Yeah, cool. I am a beginner at Python, but have experience in web dev. If I want to make it to the top companies, how to prepare? Okay. So your fundamentals in terms of programming is clear. So that is a good plus to have, given that you have, say, a decent amount of experience in Python. Having experience in web development as well will also come in handy. A lot of data science initially is all about data extraction. So you will have good amount of websites to scrape, which is where your web development knowledge would come into picture. When you create Python web applications as well, it is here that your web development knowledge will come into picture. How do you create good, awesome websites which are used by your end team members as well? So essentially, you've kind of ticked off, ticked multiple checkboxes at the initial stage itself. And if you've kickstarted your journey in Python, I think Python as a language to digest, if your coding skills are in place, is not that difficult to grasp as well. I think Python as a language in terms of readability is much more simpler as compared to, say, a more complex language. So I think you are on the right track. The next step that I can recommend is if you are planning for a data scientist role, kickstart your journey with good statistics fundamentals. Learn as much as you can in terms of understanding statistical concepts. Then kickstart your journey with proper data science or machine learning courses. And then you can kind of take the journey forward. So I think the initial hurdles are all cleared. The only thing that is remaining is your statistical foundation, as well as then once that is also clear, then you can jump to like a proper data science or a machine learning course that are kind of readily available on Coursera. So that is,
and if your question is on software engineering post, let's say you want to become software engineer, say at Amazon, then the most important thing is competitive coding. They don't care which language you use. You go to LitCode, HackerRank, all these websites, and practice those problems. And practice. You know, like the more you practice, you become more better at problem solving. And the other important thing is data structures and algorithm. You know, like knowing about big O notation, the complexity, memory usage, and so on. So you have to be very good in those aspects. Now, if the company is big, like top tier, like for example, Amazon, even if you are applying for data scientist role, they might still ask you some competitive coding questions. So you have to be, you know, prepared for that.
Should I take up the next question?
Yeah.
What are the questions asked in data science and machine learning interviews? So this, to be very honest, is a very, very, very generic question. It all depends on organizations. It all depends on the roles that you are applying for. If you are applying for a specific role, like a proper, say an NLP role or a computer vision role, then you would have questions regarding the previous projects that you have done, which overlap with the current company's requirements. So if you are applying for a, say an NLP based role, they would expect you to know the basics of NER, sentiment analysis, what all work that you've done previously in the project section of your, say, resume as well. So it all depends on the organization that you're applying for. If you are applying for a very generalist kind of a role, more of a data scientist role, wherein, say, you've already worked on a particular domain, like a fintech domain or an FMCG domain, and if you're applying for a new, say, if you're applying for a new company in the same domain, then they'll also check your domain knowledge in terms of understanding the business of that particular domain. So if you come from a fintech background, what was your past experience in terms of business for that particular domain? So all of that would be checked as well. So it all depends on the companies that you apply for. If you are applying for consulting specific roles, companies like Deloitte, McKinsey, BCG, and the others, then one thing that I've discovered is that you will kind of get a lot of questions with respect to model interpretability. Consulting companies focus more on simpler models as compared to complex models. The reason is simple. When they pitch a solution in front of their clients, they have to explain the model working as well. So if they tell you that a particular feature is very relevant for making a prediction, then why is it relevant and how much of it is relevant is something that the end business user will obviously ask you. So they don't care a lot about deep learning models tabular data in terms of making a prediction. They heavily rely on simpler models such as a decision tree algorithm or a logistic regression if you're doing a classification task. If you are into regression as well, they'll kind of stick to, again, the basic regression models as well. So it's a very vast field with every company expecting different skill set. So again, it all depends on the organizations that you kind of apply for.
Okay, so just to summarize, if you're looking for the consulting companies like Deloitte or BCG, then you're going into this whole explainable AI area, right, where you need to explain like how, because that's the toughest part, right? Like once you build a model in like TensorFlow, it's like a black box. Now you need to explain, you know, what it is doing. All right. Rajan Arora is asking what one must do to develop his or her Python fundamentals. So I will ask this to you, Rajan. If you want to be a good swimmer, what will you do? You will keep on swimming. Python, keep on practicing, you know, make more projects in Python, and then keep yourself up to date with some of the Python blogs, such as Real Python is a very good blog where they post on the new updates. For example, Python 3.9, they introduced 3.9 or 3.8, they introduced positional only arguments, right? So you have to keep yourself up to date by reading these blogs on what are the new features coming in the language, and then start using those, and then start and then participating in code reviews is extremely important. So when you're reviewing other person's code, or you're asking other person to review your code, you learn a lot of good skills. So just pay close attention to the comments you are receiving in PR, try to improve your logic, your programming skills, and keep on practicing. Right. You want to take the next question, Bhavish?
Cool. Mayank is asking, sir, I'm from BCom, BCom graduate, and decided to pursue my career further as data analyst or data scientist. I'm not sure if you've already kickstarted the journey, but assuming that you've already graduated and if you're pursuing your career, then I think, if you can learn coding and if you have the aptitude of digesting data and mathematics, then I think, data science is a good enough career choice. I've had some of my colleagues that I've worked with have been from a non-engineering background as well. And essentially, even they have kind of picked up things really quickly. So it's just about having that passion of learning new technologies, learning how you can write code as well. So irrespective of your graduation, irrespective of the background that you come from, if you have the passion of doing something, then I think, you can definitely make that career move in data analytics or data science.
Yep. And I interviewed one person who became data analyst with a BCom degree. So if you want to watch that video, watch it. We have discussed some tips in the detail. Rajan Arora's question is, what is the best bachelor degree for data science? This is a very good question. Data science is a new field. So many colleges did not have till now, like they did not even have a degree on data science, right? All you had was a degree in computer science. So you can become bachelor in computer science, or bachelor in mathematics or statistics. Nowadays, universities are having special courses on, you know, bachelor's in data science or master's in data science. So if you have master's or bachelor in data science as a degree in a college, then that is the best one. Otherwise, you can pursue a bachelor's in computer science or mathematics or statistics, and then you can learn the additional skills for data science and transition into that field.
Cool. I'll take the next one. Short Impacts Media. I'm a dev at a service-based firm in India for 2 years, mainly in Python and Django. How can I get into top product-based firms in India? Not willing to pursue higher education or get a job abroad. Okay. So there are different ways that you can kickstart the whole journey. First thing is, since the initial hurdle is crossed, say, given that you are, say, proficient with Python and the frameworks as well, start creating, say, small software solutions, if I may say so, and post it out on GitHub. Essentially, what that would do is it would kind of, so post it out on Twitter, share it on LinkedIn, create applications which have some usability in form of people say start using your small say Python application that you've created. Once that gains traction, you can easily add that in your resume as well. So that is one point. Create applications using the language that you know. It may not be very fancy. I think the most simplest applications kind of find a way in our day-to-day life as well. So kickstart your say application journey with simpler applications that you feel would have good adoption as well. Once that piece is there, then I think in terms of getting into the top-notch product-based companies, as Dhaval has already mentioned, I think data structures and algorithms are the whole backbone of, say, coding interviews that are conducted in the topmost product-based companies are, say, centered around the whole data structures and algorithms piece. So the more clarity that you have with respect to data structures, algorithms, doing, and the more you practice on LeetCode and the other websites that are there, the more your chances increase. So given that you are based out of a service company, I think that shouldn't be any hindrance for you. I think the exactly. way forward is you should constantly keep learning new technologies. You should constantly be up to date with the whole data structures and algorithms piece. And you should keep applying for jobs. You shouldn't shy away from applying for any job in any company. Keep applying, keep giving interviews. You will have failures along the way. Like, I've given a lot of interviews and I've failed in a lot of them. So no harm in trying. But yeah, keep trying, and I'm pretty sure you will make it to a top product-based company soon.
So, Bhavesh, you made a very good point, because nowadays product-based companies, you know, I have friends in some big companies like Apple, Google, and so on. The rate at which these companies are going, they're not able to hire people at the same rate.
Yeah.
So they have literally lowered their hiring bar. They're not like, if you appear for an interview in Google today versus 10 years back, the interviews were very, very tough. So because they have so many openings, they are looking for more like, you know, like people who can solve practical problems, you know, like all-rounders. And because of that, getting into this company is not as tough as it used to be. So, and you made a very good point, Bhavesh, that don't shy away. Don't think, oh, am I worthy of applying? Some people just think, okay, maybe I'm not ready for Google interview, and they don't apply. But what's the harm? Let's say you apply in Google today, you get an interview. At least, even if you get rejected, you will get a feel of that process.
Yes.
And once you have a feel of that process, you can prepare well, apply again after 6 months. So first thing you should do just today, okay, don't wait. Today itself, make your resume, start applying in big top product-based companies. And in parallel, as Bhavesh mentioned, focus on LeetCode, competitive coding, data structures algorithm. For data structure algorithm, I have a complete series on YouTube channel. And at the end of each of these videos, I have exercises. So if you practice those exercises, it's going to be super helpful. Ram Tirth Jai is asking, should I master NLP or computer vision to get job easily? Both of these fields have tremendous job opportunities. So pick any field that you have interest in, and go ahead with it. Now, there are certain domains where NLP is applied more. For example, finance, okay? Finance, there is more applicability of NLP than computer vision. But if you go into healthcare, for example, where there is a lot of medical imaging and all those things are going on. So in healthcare, I would assume computer vision's applicability is more. So if you have preference to certain domain, then figure out in that domain, is NLP more applicable or computer vision more applicable, and make the decision accordingly.
Yeah, just to add on to that, I think if you're kickstarting your journey in data science and machine learning, don't pick one. Start as more of a generalist who knows a bit of NLP, who knows a bit of computer vision, who knows how to create good efficient models as well. Don't be choosy at the start. Once you enter a field, once you enter a company, you would automatically understand that NLP is something that I'm really keen on taking this forward. It is here that you can start specializing in NLP or computer vision basis the job that you land up. So don't be choosy initially. Be choosy once you enter a job, and then try to discover where your interest lies and then take it from there.
Akshay Revankar is asking, I have completed Python, but for me, it's difficult to understand the logic sometimes. So how can I improve? Akshay, this is a very good question. So many of my subscribers have asked me this question. I made a special video for that. So if you go to YouTube, search for Code Basics, how to improve programming logic, you will find a complete video, but I will quickly summarize here. See, solving a problem in, let's say, Python or Java, any programming language, consists of multiple steps. So the step number one is, when you take a big problem, you need to understand how you can divide that problem into smaller problems. And at a time, just focus on that small problem, okay? And then you need to know this art of plumbing, you know? We sometimes say we software engineers are plumbers. We take like little pieces, solve them individually. And then when we do plumbing together to create a pipeline where, you know, your solution can flow easily. So you need to understand that art. And one way of improving that art is, of course, data structure algorithm. You need to know which data structure is appropriate for a given problem. If you don't have fundamentals in data structures and algorithm, you cannot become a good software engineer, period. So you have to always start with data structure algorithm. Once you figure out, see, because a same problem can be solved using a hash map and a tree, or using a list. But then maybe using a hash map makes more sense for a given situation. So you need to have that sense of judgment. So that comes once you have a solid understanding of data structures and algorithm, right? And learning these things are not that hard, to be honest. Like, so again, like follow my whole playlist that I have on my channel. And once you've understood that, then you should start working on as many projects as possible. So you work on different projects, you apply different data structure algorithm, different design patterns, you know, and then you start building your logic. So it will take time, Akshay. Be patient and keep on practicing as much as you can.
Cool. So I'll take the next question. How to start data science? Just start. I think there are so many resources out there. Start with statistics. There are tons of amazing YouTube channels out there. There are some amazing Coursera courses that are there. So start with data science. In the most random fashion, pick up a course. See how things are going. Don't restrict yourself to one course. Learn as much as you can. So when I kickstarted my data science journey, I had a decent mathematics background. But when I kickstarted the whole journey, say from scratch, leaving whatever I was doing previously, one thing that I did was I kind of picked up a topic from one course that I was following, and I tried to go through 10, 15 different resources that are available on the internet. Given the amount of content that is available these days for one particular topic, say if you pick up a topic like p-value, you would get tons of resources on that one particular topic. So learn as much as you can. The start is something that is very difficult, but once you get into the habit that this is the next thing that I want to do, this is the next course that I want to try, things will keep happening. So yeah, that is how I can say summarize. So if you want to start, just start, pick up any course that you like and see how it goes.
Cool. Actually, you know, I lost care. I scrolled down and now I'm at the very bottom of the chat. So Buzz, you can pivot, take the next question as well till I figure this out.
Cool. So Anis is saying, sir, if I don't have programming experience, means I'm weak in logic creation and programming, can I learn data science? I think, initially you would find it difficult, say just to kickstart the whole activity. But if you can kickstart the activity with statistics, build up that foundational knowledge of statistics, mathematics, and then parallelly work on programming as well, improving your programming skills. So there are tons of awesome YouTube tutorials that you can find online. Kickstart that journey of going through different programming programming YouTube tutorials, start learning data structures and algorithms. If you could balance it out, say with both of them together, like both data science as well as programming, nothing like it, but you can pick and choose. You can start with programming. Once you have that programming fundamental setup and along with that good statistical foundation is when, then you can definitely go in for data science and machine learning.
Cool. Again, I couldn't figure out how to go to the almost. So what YouTube is doing is I'm seeing the messages which are posted later, and okay. I lost track of the initial messages. So I'll start picking up. You can go in sequence, Bhavesh, and I'll start picking up the question from wherever I can. So S2 production is asking complete roadmap to data science for first year engineering students. Well, if you're a first year engineering student, focus on your coding skills, your mathematics and statistics. See, the fundamentals are very, very important. People get into all these fancy frameworks. You know, they start using like whatever fancy frameworks that they have access to, and they forget that the basics are very important. You need to know the gradient descent, for example. It's the core of any machine learning algorithm. You need to have a solid understanding. And to understand gradient descent, you need to know about partial derivative. Now that goes back to your calculus class. So people don't pay attention to their calculus class and they want to focus on learning whatever, Power BI. They start using TF serving. You know, they want to just do fancy things. But fundamentals are super important. So if you're in first year, I would say focus on your fundamentals. Make sure your statistics, your mathematics is solid.
Cool. One question that I can read here is, how many rounds do we have usually in data science placements? It varies. I remember it was around 2 years back when I was applying for jobs. I was actively applying for jobs back then. I remember for some companies, I've given 3 rounds. I think 3 is like the bare minimum, including the HR round as well. So that is the minimum number of rounds that you can think of. 3 to 4 minimum is what you can expect. I've also given interviews in some companies where the total number of rounds, if I count, have gone up to 10 or 11 as well. Those companies are mostly centered around consulting, but yeah, that's how companies are. So it again varies from the organizations, the kind of role that they're offering you, and what is it that they expect out of a data scientist. So all of the questions coming into one, you would have say different rounds for different companies.
Saksham Kumar Sharma is asking, is data structure and algorithm required for data science interviews? If you are applying for tier one, like big companies, maybe yes, but otherwise I don't think so.
Okay. I'll go next. How many rounds that's already completed? How to start learning data science is something that I've already covered. Please suggest few open source for projects. Open source for projects. I think, Ram is asking this question. So I'm not very clear on the question, but, open source for projects. I'm not very clear on this question. So I'll come back to this question. I can see one question by Karthik here. I've seen in some companies, data science is much more inclined towards SQL. In others, there can be vast areas like NLP, etc. What is your take on this? So a very, very valid question by Karthik. So I think, when you think of data science, things that get attention are your awesome deep learning models, the amazing GPT-3 that is catching so much of attention. So these are the things that catch your eye. But if you think from an organization level as well, how many companies at this point of time that are kind of into business, if a company is trying to sell you something, how many companies would actually make use of that amazing GPT-3 model? So nothing that you can, not many at this point of time. Maybe once you give GPT-3 access to a lot of people, then you will have good amount of use cases that can come up. So companies still on data depend a lot on SQL queries because SQL is that one thing that helps them derive business insights. So if I can tell a company that say, hey, listen, this is one of your business areas where we are going wrong, let's change X to Y and let's monitor the impact of this small change that I'm kind of suggesting basis the data that I have. That is something that is more than welcome for organizations rather than using something which is very, very fancy. Now, fancy machine learning, NLP also have their place, but say 95% companies still rely heavily on SQL, and still a lot of work that a data scientist does is essentially mine insights and give it to the end business user. So that is something that I can say. So have your fundamentals strong in SQL. I think that will kind of help you clear a lot of company interview rounds as well, which are business driven. For companies that are essentially research based, companies that are creating and open sourcing NLP models, like Hugging Face, there you essentially require those fine-tuned NLP skills. But 95% of the organizations, especially in India, still rely a lot on analytics as compared to fancy machine learning. So that is something that I can share at this point of time.
Yeah, that is very good, very well point. Because many times they, when people start working as data scientists, they are under assumption that they'll be building some cool, you know, TensorFlow model. But majority of the time is like they are looking into different databases, you know, scattered data, collecting data, massaging, and just providing simple insights using a very simple heuristic. And that's okay. Yeah. You know, you don't want to apply machine learning when the simple problem can be solved using a plain regular expression. Mustafa Kolo is asking, please, sir, answer my above question. Or right, Mustafa, I don't know where your question is. I'm sorry, this YouTube has chopped off all my messages.
Yeah, yeah, I can see. Is it Mustafa Kolo?
Yes, yes. What is this question?
Okay. Yeah, the question is, I have BSc in IT and I want to do my master's degree in data science. Which university should I apply? Thanks.
Okay, so are you talking about university in US? Like, you have to mention, like, friends, please, when you ask questions, please specify which university. I don't know which country you are from, Mustafa, but if you are from US has many, many good universities. So I did a video with Kaushal Saha last time. That video was uploaded 2 days back. So go watch that video. We have mentioned a couple of universities. Oklahoma State University is pretty good. They offer a tuition fee waiver. So if you qualify for their program, you can complete your education for free. So Kaushal Shah, whom I interviewed, he finished his 2 years master's in data science from Oklahoma State University for free. And he saved some dollars on top of it. Usually master's in US is crazy expensive. You know, like minimum, you're looking at minimum $50,000 to $100,000 tuition fees. And your living expenses are, you know, it's a separate cost. But there are some good universities which give you the tuition free waiver. Other than that, in terms of like quality of education and all of that. So I live in New Jersey here. Rutgers, Stevens are very good. Then NYU, you know, these are the couple of names that come to my mind. But you watch that video. And I think we have mentioned a couple of universities in that video.
Cool. One question by Stalin. I want to switch from software engineering to data analyst. Will an MBA in BA help me in this transition? Will it be more technical or what should I do for that? India not preferred masters in abroad. Achha, okay, you are planning for an MBA in India and you want to switch to a data analyst also. So I made a transition from software engineering to data science. So just to give you a small background, I've done my engineering in electronics. So I used to code hardware devices, something in line of programming microcontrollers and all of that. I did my master's in embedded systems, where again, I went deep into programming hardware devices. The initial two companies that I worked for again were software for hardware again. I worked for MathWorks and Cisco. From there, I kind of made a transition to data science without an MBA. So an MBA will help because it will kind of give you that direction in terms of which business domain is something that interests you. But to be very honest, I think if you are planning for like a transition software engineering to data analytics, I would highly recommend start say participating in different hackathons that are happening. Some of the hackathons or some of the competitions are very centered around data science, wherein you are expected to create a predictive model. But even if you've not reached at that stage wherein you are supposed to create a predictive model, the initial part is where data analytics comes into picture, wherein you have to play around with data, generate insights, figure out which feature will add more value to your model. Can you come up with some small insights, like say if you have one column, can you derive some kind of an insight from that particular column? So these are some of the things that I can recommend. So an MBA will help. An MBA will definitely make you, say, capable in terms of understanding business. But I don't know how much of it will actually help you in the whole data analytics piece. For essentially understanding data, you don't need an essentially an MBA degree for that. So that is something that I can recommend.
I agree with that. Like, you can maybe pursue there is a role for, there is data analyst and there is business analyst.
Yes.
So if there is a degree centered around business analytics, then maybe you should go there. MBA is like general. If you're interested in analytics, do something in data analytics or business analytics. Neeraj Joshi is asking, is it necessary to learn data structures in both C++ and Java? No, you can pick just one language and just go with it. No need to learn both the languages.
Next question, learned SQL, Excel and basics of Python. Can you guide what next to become data analyst? Suggest any good project to create a portfolio. So in terms of a project, I think one thing that I found that kind of took off initially, say around last year, April, is a lot of people created some amazing dashboards for COVID analysis. Like, what are the states that are affected? Where is, say, what is happening in terms of the overall, cases as well, like a state-wise distribution as well. So anything that is happening, anything that is interesting to you, may not be specific to like a data analytics project, but anything that you feel should be tracked, that is where you can jump in. You can find data sets available online. You can use Google. So Google has kind of created a search engine where you can search data sets as well. So start searching for data sets that actually interest you. So if you are into sports, you can kind of download some data sets regarding some sports activities as well. Create some dashboards using Excel. May not be as fancy as, say, a Tableau or a Power BI dashboard. You can create dashboards in Excel. You can create dashboards in Google Data Studio as well. Again, free software that you can easily use and create something insightful. Push it out on LinkedIn, share it with your network. Look at what feedback you get and try improving that. So that is something that I can recommend if you have to create like a good portfolio for a data analyst role that you're targeting.
And the very basic project you can start with is you can maintain your own expenses and income in an Excel file and, you know, just build up dashboard. So we did this project on my channel where in the Power BI, we built a dashboard for maintaining your personal expenses, you know, so your monthly grocery bill, your rental, mobile phone bill, keep recording them in Excel file and then you can build a dashboard. So you'll be like your own client in that case. Okay. Raj Shekhar Goda is saying favorites together. So looks like there is a common subscriber here, Bhavesh. So thank you, Raj, for attending this.
Cool. How many rounds do we have usually in data science placements in India and what are those rounds? So, okay. I've already mentioned.
We covered it. Yeah.
Yeah. It varies, but yeah. Generally, the initial round is more of a screening round. If there are three or four rounds that are conducted, I think two rounds would be purely technical. And then you will have some rounds which are centered around your behavioral pieces as well, wherein the HR comes into picture. So, that is how interviews are. But some companies would take 10, 11 rounds as well. Even that is something that I've gone through. So, yeah, that is also a possibility.
Jatin Basin is asking, what are your views on latest Google Data Analytics certification? So many people are asking about this. So Google has released this new certification. I have not reviewed. I glanced through it. I have not gone into details in that course. Like, Bharsh, do you have any idea about this certification?
So I kind of saw a video that is kind of recommended by YouTube these days, and that's regarding the data analytics certification. But yeah, even for me, I've not gone through the certification. What are the details inside the course, and how good is it? So yeah, I mean, at my end as well, I'm not very clear in terms of the certification piece as well. So
okay, yeah. So maybe Jatin, I might review that Google Data Analytics course myself. But yeah, right now, sorry, we don't have an answer for your question.
Okay. Can we learn data science without any computer background? Yeah, I mean, I think we've covered this. So even if you come from a non-technical background, if you can frame your, study properly, if you can start with statistics, then learn a bit of programming in Python, then you can definitely think of learning data science and machine learning as well.
Which one is easy, data analyst or data science? Data analyst is easy compared to data science. OG Benterbox, I choose California Berkeley. Where you are going? California Berkeley is an amazing university. So good choice, Benterbox.
Cool. Aman is asking how to find correlations between two or more categorical features. I think correlation as a concept is more for numeric. For finding out if there is significance between two categorical features, then I think chi-square test would come into picture. Chi-square, yeah. Chi-square is between two categorical variables. So I think, yeah, you can pick chi-square test. Chi or chai, depending on how you pronounce it. But yeah.
Chi-square. Sometimes people say chi-square, whatever. Well.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that is something that you can utilize basis my memory as well. I think ANOVA is used when you have categorical and numeric. Numeric, you have your normal correlation. If you want to find out significance between two categorical features, two or more, then I think chi-square would come in handy.
Yep. Hey, friends, please don't spam. I'm telling you, if you spam, if you keep on posting your question multiple times, it will waste our time. See, I'm scrolling and I'm seeing the same question. Now I have to filter those questions, please. I understand you can post your question maybe one, two times, three times, but you know, if you post a question like five times in a row, we will not pick your question. Sorry. Same question. People are just spamming. Friends, please respect my time, Bhavesh time, and anyone else time who is attending here. So Bhavesh, if you see question which is posted more than three, four times, let's skip that question. Okay. We are not answering that question.
Cool. I see a question here. I've been working as a data scientist for 2 years now. Is it the right time to do master's or PhD? How important doing PhD is to you guys? Okay. So it all depends on what you want to do in data science, say 5 or 7 years down the line. Some people get the sense that I want to make an impact to business. So it is here that having a PhD won't necessarily add a lot of value, because if you are working for a big company wherein you are responsible for going through data and generating insights, I don't think a PhD would add, say, a lot of value in such a particular, say, use case. If you plan to, say, work for companies wherein you pick up one particular topic, and if you want to optimize that particular problem that company is facing, it is here that a master's or a PhD, and to be very specific, a PhD would help. So, for example, if you are, say, trying to optimize a particular process, say, for example, Swiggy is just taking a random example. If Swiggy is working on some computer vision problem, and if your thesis topic falls into their interest, then I think it's a good merger that you can think of. So it all depends on what you want to do going forward. Do you want to work for organizations? Do you want to go into teaching? If you are, say, very passionate about teaching, if you want to, say, go into research, then I think PhD is a must-have. But if you want to work in organizations, then I don't think there's like a lot of value given that you're already working as a data scientist. So these are my thoughts on the questions that you've posted, Ashu.
And it's interesting. I have prepared a video on this topic, whether you're pursuing PhD in data science makes sense. So that video will be live soon. But awesome. I will just summarize, like, there are some companies where they have special role where they prefer PhDs.
Yeah.
So if you want to go in at some niche segment, you know, where you're doing some research in some specific area or of NLP, some niche area, then of course you should do it. Because as I said, some companies, they have specific requirement where they say, okay, your job, your qualification has to be PhD. Otherwise, don't even apply. So, you know, from that front, it will be useful. Shirinu Deo Singh is saying, I'm in class 12. Okay, he's in class 12. He started learning coding from class 8. He made many game website and also he's a bug bounter. Wow. You're like Mando, you know, Mandalorian and Mandalorian, like the bounty hunter. So he's a bug hunter and he is asking, how can I go further to get job in a big company? So Shirinu, I'm glad you're learning coding, but you are in still 12th grade. Do not worry too much about job. You are missing out on your childhood. You should be focusing more on sports, making friends, having fun. Don't worry, you will get job. You are so good. Looks like you are already knowing coding. And if you want to focus on anything, we covered this, like focus on fundamentals, like mathematics, statistics, like derivative calculus. Those are the things you should be thinking in your head. Like, don't think about getting job, right? You're in 12th, come on, give yourself a break. Like once you are in job, that vicious cycle of job, you'll be like, oh, those school days were so good, right? So you don't miss out on your childhood days. The time you are having is golden time period, and don't waste that time in thinking about your job.
I totally agree. There's one more question by Partha Sarthi. Sir, I'm in class 8 and know the fundamentals of statistics and Python. I also know most part of the ML concepts. Sir, please give some tips to me. So to be very honest, when I was in it, I didn't know a lot about programming and all as well. So I think you're very far ahead of the curve. So you just have to relax at this point of time. You have your board exams in a couple of years. Focus on that. Make friends again, as Dhaval rightly pointed out. Take this time and enjoy life. I think working and having a job would soon follow, and it is once you start working, then you realize the importance of enjoying your childhood as well. So take this opportunity and enjoy life at this point of time. I think given that you've already cleared most of the fundamentals, I think you have a really bright future ahead.
Yep. Mahesh Rokade is asking, is TensorFlow developer certification worth it? So Mahesh, you will find my LinkedIn profile in any of my videos. So connect with me and send me a link of that that certification. So I will look at the course content and I will advise you on a LinkedIn. So anyone who wants to connect with me on LinkedIn, I provide my LinkedIn profile link in all of my videos. So connect with me. Don't spam with too many questions. Like if you have important questions, then only I ask, because again, I receive so many questions on LinkedIn and it kind of becomes impossible to answer all of that. Tajimul Sharif, how to master statistics completely? Well, again, statistics, you have to solve problems, you know, like take any data analytics type of problem and try to solve it using your statistics. So you can go to Kaggle, find different data sets, different problems, and try to apply your statistics skills, like different kind of statistical techniques. And, you know, post a kernel or post a notebook and, you know, engage with people. You want to answer that question differently, Pavish? He's asking how to master statistics completely.
Okay. So for statistics, I think there's one book that, according to me, is like a gem of a book. The book's name is Business Statistics by Ken Black. So that is something that I can wholeheartedly recommend, because I've kind of gone through every page of the book multiple times.
What is the full name? Ken, what is the last name?
Ken Black.
Ken Black.
Business Statistics by Ken Black. It's truly an amazing book. Something that I can wholeheartedly recommend. It gives you statistics till the amount that is required. It won't deprive you of any, say, main concepts. Neither will it give you so much that you cannot digest. So for people who already have experience and who are kind of willing to make that transition into data science, I think that is something that I can wholeheartedly recommend. That is one book that I really
follow. Yeah, I was reading about that book. So Business Statistics, Contemporary Decision Making by Ken Black.
Black, yes.
So let me quickly share and show it to people. So can everyone see this? This is the book that Bhavesh is talking about. So I did not hear about this book, Bhavesh, by the way. So I'm also going to order this. Thank you for the suggestion. No problem. Okay. So many questions are piling up. So we are already at 1 hour. So Bhavesh, if based on your time, okay, I'm available for like next 5 or 10 minutes. So should we continue?
Yeah,
or
five,
if...
yeah, yeah. 5-10 minutes are good enough.
Okay, cool.
Cool. So Abhishek is asking this question. He's kind of posted this 10-15 times, but I'll kind of pick this up. My resume doesn't get shortlisted for data analytics profile, although I mention all the project details and technical skills. Please guide me. Okay. It's very natural that your resume does not get shortlisted. For anyone who applies, every company will have different sets of requirements. People will also, some companies, although open up a role for a fresher, but they expect you to have 2-3 years of experience as well. So even this is something that is there in the market. The only thing that I can recommend is you shouldn't lose heart. It's okay to not get selected once you apply at this point of time. The one thing that I can recommend at this point of time is start creating projects. That is something that is something that will separate out your profile from the rest of the others' profile. Start writing blogs on Medium. If you have a knack of writing, that is something that catches the eye of the recruiter really well. If you like recording videos, if you want to push out something that you've created in form of a video, start your own YouTube channel. It's okay to have 50, 100 subscribers as well initially. Even that shows the recruiter that you're doing something apart from what the 95-99% of the crowd is doing. So that will help your, say, profile be short. That will kind of help your profile catch the eye of the recruiter as well. So that is something that I can recommend. And don't shy away in applying for jobs. I think any company that you find a relevant opening, don't worry, just apply. And if not today, then hopefully tomorrow you would get the dream job that you're kind of searching for. So that is something that I can mention.
Mohammed Saad Khan is asking, tell us about career in blockchain. So blockchain is a very promising technology, but the reality is there are not many jobs in blockchain, you know? So if you're a blockchain developer, I don't think you'll find many, many jobs. So it is still kind of a new thing. So you have to be careful. You can still acquire those skills, but the job opportunities will be more as we go forward. But as of like 2021, there are not many blockchain jobs available in the market. Faiz Mohan is UX designing versus software engineering, which is good. Look, both are good. Both have a tremendous opportunity. Which one you are interested in? Right? You are telling me doctor or engineer, which one is good? But both are good. It's like, which one you are interested in and, you know, which one? I think, see, let's discuss this topic. It's very important, actually. When people are making career choices, you should make a career choice based on self-reflection, self-introspection. Try to analyze who you are, you know, as a person, who you are, what are your life goals? Like, forget career, forget money. Who you are as a person, at the core, I'm talking about the core. Based on that, make a decision. For example, my wife, she has a very caring nature, okay? She's in a medical industry. She's a respiratory therapist. She should never become data scientist or software engineer because she likes to work with humans, you know? So if you're a person, let's say you want I have a brother like who is a computer engineer, but he likes to talk to people. He wants to meet like 5 new people every day. That person should not become maybe data scientist or a machine learning engineer, because then you're dealing with dumb computer the whole day. It's not fun. You should maybe do MBA or get a degree in sales. Okay. The biggest mistake people make is they just go by trend. Okay, data scientist is a big trend. It's like a, you know, the bunch of ships just traveling in one direction. So don't go by where the herd is going, you know. Look at your own self and figure out which thing you are good at, and then make an appropriate career decision.
Cool. There is one question by CR. Is it best practice to start using neural network models which are already available, or build our own and use them? So the way I would answer this is, if the problem that you're trying to solve hasn't been solved before, and if you have a corresponding data set, it is here that I can advise that you should start building stuff from your, say, start building stuff from scratch. That is the place where all your data science skills and deep learning skills would come into picture. If it's something that's already solved, like a classification problem using, say, computer vision, if you're trying to classify, say, a particular image into different categories, I'm pretty sure you would find hundreds of pre-trained models that just need retraining in the last layer, and you're good to have like a good optimized version of that particular model that you can directly start using. So don't think of reinventing the wheel when the wheel already exists. If it's something that does not exist, it is here that you'll have to build something from your experience, and you'll have to build things from scratch. So that is something that I can recommend.
Yep. So Mohammad Zuhaib has a question for you, Bhavesh. Bhavesh, sir, I'm finding it hard to switch into good company with ML role due to experience requirements. Should I switch to data analyst, business analyst, and gain experience, and then? Yeah, sure. If you are, I know question. I know this is a question for you, Bhavesh, but
that's fine.
I'll jump in. Yeah, if you're not finding job as an ML engineer, if you can get as a data or business analyst, go ahead. But again, look at your own personality, do self-reflection. See, I'm a software engineer, okay? At some point, 4 years back, I figured I have a skill in teaching. So I consider myself, I will be a proud teacher than a software engineer. So sometimes you're like, okay, you are working as a software engineer for Bloomberg, such a big company, you know, like top company. And you want to be a teacher? Yes, I can be a full-time teacher because that's what I enjoy. And I'm good at it, right? So Mohammed, like business analyst, data analyst, different ball game altogether. Business analyst, you are more on a business side, okay? Talking to people, understanding business problem. Data analyst, yes, you know some business, but more on technical side, like tools, you know, figuring out things out. So look at your personality, friends, like look at your personality first and then make a career choice, you know? If your personality is, yeah, you can be a good teacher, be a teacher. I'm telling you, nothing wrong in it. You will make tons of money. The world is offering so many opportunities. I know some teachers, you know, they're good in teaching. They do this paid courses on Udemy and all that. They make tons of money. These folks are teachers. So you can make money and career progress in any role. It's important that you should be enjoying that work. And sometimes people ask me, oh, but I don't know what I enjoy. And well, do little experiments, right? Okay. Like, for example, take my case. When I started YouTube channel, I was trying to figure out, okay, I want to do something which I really enjoy. So I have done photography before. I have done poetry writing and all that. So I literally wrote those things down. Okay. Poetry, photography, I have a lot of interest in astrophysics as well. But then I looked at, okay, out of these four things, in last 5 years or 10 years, is there anything where people have given me a compliment on? So on some random occasion, people give me a compliment that, oh, you can explain things well. So once you have that input, build on top of it. So make a little experiment, maybe start a YouTube channel, you know, start teaching, whatever. Start teaching your art and craft, whatever. And then you will figure out okay, this is what I'm good at and this is what I enjoy. Then you should just do that. Okay, I know one doctor, he's a surgeon and he's doing a iPhone mobile app development. Like doctor doing iPhone mobile app development, well, people can do it. We live in a very flexible world. So don't think what kind of degree you have because your parents decided to put you, you know, your parents, you know, they will say, okay, become computer engineer because you can earn more money. So based on, don't make a decision based on what your friends are doing. Sometimes, you know, people make decision based on what their friends are. Okay, here is my good friend. He's going to, let's say, Canada for business analytics masters. So I want to do that. Never make that mistake. All right, I think we can take one last question. So Bas, you pick your last question, then we'll end it.
There are so many same questions that I find it becomes difficult to read as well. Just
if someone is asking same question, do not reply to that, okay?
Here is one good question that I found. Persika Rudhir Babu, what is the best way to do ML projects for beginners? So the best way is pick up a problem that you want to solve in your daily life and try creating a solution around it. I remember one student had reached out to me for a job, and back in the day we didn't have a lot of openings in my company. What he had created was a simple web application, like an end-to-end solution, wherein you can kind of detect which currency note it is. So he trained it on the new Indian currency notes. The classifier was extremely accurate, like around 95-96%. And he didn't stop there. He created like a out and out Flask based web application. He hosted that on a particular website and he could show that demo as well. So something that helps you in your daily life, something that can add value, that is the best possible way to kickstart a small mini project and then scale it up to like an end-to-end solution. So that is something that I can recommend. Don't pick up things that are already executed, like something that you can pick up some code from here and there and then create a solution. There is very little novelty that is attached to such a solution. Pick up something that will solve a problem that you're facing currently. Try thinking of a solution in that, say, scenario, and then create a solution around it.
Great. All right. So that's all we had for today, friends. I'm going to be doing live every weekend. So the coming weekend, there will be a live with another YouTuber. His name is Alex, the data analyst. So the coming weekend live stream is going to be focused mainly on data analyst role. So please attend. And if you want your questions to be answered, then join early because, you know, Bhavesh, like we started at 11 here in India, it's 8:30. And there was hardly any questions. So now everyone is coming late and now just spamming. So that's not a good strategy. If you want to get your question answered, join right at the time. And I'm telling you, at that time, initial 10 minutes, there are hardly any questions. So it will be answered. Okay. Thank you very much, Bhavesh, first of all, for your valuable time, especially on weekend, on Saturday night. And thanks everyone else who attended. And I'm sorry if we couldn't answer your question. As I said, there are some tips. Do not spam. If you spam, your question will not be answered. And the second tip is join early and start posting your questions. Cool. Bhavesh, any ending thoughts if you want to share? Yeah, you can.
Nothing that I can think of, but yeah, it was a very good session. And sorry if you've missed out on some questions, given questions kept coming in. So it became really difficult to read through all of the questions. But yeah, I think all the very best to all of you who are kind of attending this live stream on a Saturday morning or an evening time. And I'm pretty sure if you put in your bit of hard work as well, I'm pretty sure all of you would be successful in the near future. So all the very best to all of you watching the live stream. And thank you again, Dhaval, for having me over.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.